Inmates of another kind are the province of commentator and psychiatrist Alyssa Eli. In her work, she's encountered institutionalized patients for whom the smallest pleasure can provide immense joy.
Mr. Hale has been in one variety of hospital or another for 30, maybe 40 years. His illness began with visions harsh enough to cause him to pull an eye out with his fingers. There were shock therapies and lobotomies, decades on back wards, and no one knows how many medications. Then he became diabetic and developed heart problems. His hearing faded, the good eye grew a cataract, and went bad. He's lived on our unit for over a decade. The nurses know all that is medical about him. When his dry socket is about to cause him pain, when his sinuses are brewing an infection, how agitated he is from the velocity of his rocking. Still, no one knows what he thinks. Occasionally, he feels his way along the walls to the door of his room and hesitates. Occasionally, he hurls his tray or tears the curtains off the rods around his bed. He likes to hug a teddy bear the night staff gave him. Once in a while, he screams something about the war. Each week, the music therapist comes onto the floor. She pushes a metal cart meant for bags of IV fluids, but loaded with instruments and sheet music instead. She gathers the mobile patients for singing. Then she visits those who don't leave their rooms. She pulls a chair up and takes out her guitar. She sings simple songs with a lot of major chords, nothing that requires delicate listening. Everyone knows them. One day I heard a violent noise from Mr. Hale's room. He was rocking back and forth in front of his tray table, whacking the body of the guitar and wailing. The music therapist sat calmly beside him. His teddy bear lay on the floor, furry arms up. The therapist was matter-of-fact afterwards. "Oh, yes," she said. She'd been giving him the guitar to play for a long time. He knew just what to do with it, and she felt sure that somewhere along the way he had learned music. I asked if he recognized her when she put the guitar in his arms. She said she doubted it, but she could see he enjoyed himself. That was what counted. A few weeks later, I met her in the elevator. She had just come from Mr. Hale's room, she said. When she leaned over to put the guitar in his arms, he spoke to her. It was the first time she had understood him. "What did he tell you?" I asked. There was light in her eyes. He said, "I love you." Since then, the music therapist has continued to visit him weekly. She gives him her guitar, and he plays it while she sits next to him. He hasn't seemed to recognize her again. He hasn't told her that he loves her. But we know better.
Alyssa Eli is a psychiatrist. She lives in Massachusetts.